Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Father's house this morning. Are you filled with joy? Yes, come on. Merry Christmas, everyone. Let's sing this out together. He is our joy, man.
You're the light to all in darkness, defender of the weak. You sustain the humble heart. Forgotten, heal the wounded soul. You're the hope when hope is distant. You're my joy, you're my joy. I'll rejoice in the Lord, my song will ever be. This heart, my refuge in the wreckage. You're my joy, you're my joy. You're the God of endless mercy, the answer for the world. You're the treasure for the searching. You're my joy, you're my joy. I'll rejoice in the Lord, my song will ever be.
Jesus' name, would you let us see your morning? Are you ready for Christmas? Man, we had a building full of kids on Friday night, and it was amazing. Let me tell you a problem I have. I got more than enough. We had stuff left over, and so while we're singing and praying this morning, if you know a family that's needing something, if you know an area that's needing something, we've got about 75 gifts left over that we could bless anybody with. Amen? So here's what you get to do. You get to think about it. Maybe after service we'll give them to you. Maybe you got some kids that know some kids and just take them to their house. Is that okay? Can we pray over the children? Hey, can I have all the kids or are they gone? They're gone. Okay. Can we pray for them? Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for all of our children. I thank you for every one of them. I thank you for every one that was in the building on Friday night. I pray that, Lord, they would see your glory, that know you, that understand that the Christ has come for them. I pray their hearts and their minds would be changed as they begin to look towards the reality of your presence. Hallelujah. Lord, I love your presence. Lord, I just love the reality of what happens in my own life when I become aware of you. I pray this morning that everyone in this room would become so conscious of your tangible presence that, Lord, their life would be changed inside and out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Sorry forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Like no other people. We are a people who waited on a promise, and that promise has been born. We are a people who order our lives not by the calendars of this world. We order our lives not by the celebrations of humanity, but we order our lives in the fact that Christ is born, that He lived and reigned with us, and that our lives are directed by that reality. Father, thank you for coming into our lives. Thank you for not waiting on us to come to you or perform for you, but thank you for becoming one of us. Thank you for being with us and in us. Hallelujah. Help us to live as people who have received the Christ in every area of our lives, who know who we are and whose we are. We sing to you this morning, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can we do it one more time? Hallelujah. Just sing it to Him one more time. Seconds for coming into your life. Just take 30 seconds and tell Him what you're grateful for and how much you love Him this morning. Father, we praise you and thank you for the gift of your Son, for the life that you've become. Each one of us. Amen, amen, amen. Hug somebody this morning. Tell them they look good in the light of the Christ, right? In the light of Jesus, they're amazing. Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Merry Christmas. Are you ready for the week? Some of you, are you ready for the week? Are you ready for everything that, man, I am. I'm ready to open stuff and eat stuff. I'm ready just to celebrate. Hey, Jesse, good to see you, buddy. You doing okay? Okay, praying for you. Hallelujah. Well, we got one thing going on this week, just one, and that's Tuesday night. Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, the New Year's Eve Christmas Eve service. It's my favorite service of the year. I'll dress up. We'll dress up. If you're a deacon, you're going to help me be here at 5, okay? Then you're 5 ready to go, and we'll walk through what we're doing. It really is. It'll be a unique. The worship will be amazing. And I'll have a short little homily for you. And we'll just jump out of here and go do Christmas, right? And then and I won't be here Wednesday night. So if you show up, have church on your own. Take an offering. There you go. Make an offering. And we'll just take care of that, right? So we got gifts over here. I don't know how we'll do that after service. If you know a family that needs a gift, just come and get one. It saves us from tomorrow. So if you know a family that has 2 or 3 children, I think they're age appropriate and they're labeled. So you can grab them for the age, for the boy, the girl, and but give them away, right? One of the best things you could do is grab one of your children and have them take it and give it away. Amen? And so it's kind of nice. Oh, you didn't hear me. It's nice to have too much, right? It's nice to have more than enough. So, I can't see. Sorry.
Emmanuel. God is with us. And I bring you good tidings of great joy. For I want to prepare you for the new season to come. For I, the Lord, am so in love with you that I can do nothing but leap and dance in joy over your life, because I know the great things that I have in store for you. I want you to understand that I am the restorer of broken dreams. I am the one that gives sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, and I cause men to run. So know that this season to come is where I am going to restore your dreams. I am going to reveal a new vision and put my dreams inside of you. I am going to give you clarity of sight that no man can blind you, because you will know the truth, and that truth is in you to set them free. So know this, that by my own spirit I am with you. I shall be upon you, but more importantly, I am within you. And I am going to baptize you with joy in this season, that you will have the strength to do all that I give you vision for. So what I want you to do is, as I speak into your life and I give you the direction, I want you to write that down. I want it to be clear inside of you that you have what I have said, that you cannot forget it, because this shall be a time not only of revelation and clarity, but this shall be a time of manifestation of my presence with my people, that you will be the witness to those that need to hear my love for them. And the joy within you is going to touch the generation that needs clarity. And I shall bring that clarity to them through you. So get ready to run, because I am going to use you as the herald with your testimony of my great love for my people. And I shall not lose one.
Hallelujah. I just really think that 2020 is going to be that, right? It's going to be that season of clarity, that season of perfect vision, that season where God dusts things off. I just received that this morning as a word of confirmation for what I think I'm hearing. So look at your neighbor and say, 2020 vision, clear, concise, no more fog, right? revelation of the realities of God in our lives. Father, thank you this morning for the opportunity of giving back to you from that which you've already given to us. Thank you for the opportunity of participating in the giving and in the receiving. Pray this morning that as we bring our gifts to you, that Lord, you'd open up windows, open up new ways and new opportunities, that you'd open up new streams of gifts into our lives. Lord, as we give this morning, may it go to the missionaries, may it go to the children, may it go to expand our reach of the gospel. May it help us to reach even more people than we've reached today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for your giving. More importantly, thank you today, but more importantly, thank you for your giving all year. It's been a good year, I listened to someone teach the other day about how they were trying to raise up this year-end offering and accomplish things, and I just want you to know, I just appreciate you doing it all year long. I just appreciate you being faithful in that, and just pray that God does better things for us next year, right? And all of that. Amen. You ready? You ready for the weekend update? Here we go.
Weekend update. Welcome to another edition of Weekend Update. People, there are 4 days left. 4 days until we can all sleep. The Christmas season will have officially ended. The chaos of the season will be done. 4 days. Just for a little perspective, this is what Christmas chaos looked at my house this week.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
So here's the deal, folks. We're tired. I don't know about you, but we're exhausted. We have taken your kids caroling while you guys reflected on Jesus things and drank great Metro coffee. We have opened up, set up, and torn down the sanctuary for a family Christmas evening. We've created spots for you to get involved with the angel tree and the wish list and laundry love. And we've even let your kids run like maniacs around this building this last Friday evening, which was a fantastic time. But we're tired. So here it is. Here are the announcements for this week. We have no service the next two Wednesday nights. Yep. That's it. We're going to shut the daycare down for a couple of days because there is no amount of coffee, no amount of sleep at this point in time that will get us caught up on what we need. So, there you have it. Next two Wednesdays, no service. Don't judge us. Love us. Regardless of how tired you are or how tired we are not too tired for one service, and that is our Christmas Eve service. It's our Christmas Eve service. It starts at 6 p.m. It'll be an hour long, tops. And we would love it if you brought your family, if you brought your friends, brought your neighbors, whoever it is that would enjoy the Christmas Eve service. We want you to come. Karen, take us away.
Live from the Father's house, it's Sunday morning.
Our YouTube channel for our announcements is getting more hits than my sermons. It's like, what is going on here? Created a mess. Would you stand with me this morning for the readings? We're going to read quite a bit out of Luke's gospel.
then I picked a reading out of Acts that I want to play with this morning. So just open your ears, close your eyes, hear the story afresh.
Acts 17:22. Then Paul stood in the midst of the, however you say that, and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Verse 23. "As for I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope to him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring." The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Reading from Luke 2. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men.'" The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. How many of you know
How many of you know the story? Don't sit down just yet. How many of us could pay attention and hear the story for the first time? Hear it like a child would hear it. Hear it with that awe and that wonder. Lord, open our hearts that we might hear clearly. Our minds that we might perceive. Lord, open our souls that we might be changed. Awaken the child inside of every one of us. Let us not just simply hear it again, but let us hear it for the first time. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. Every time I get around somebody that's a humbug person, I want to slap them. We have such a great and an amazing story that the whole world uses it. I want you to understand that this story is so powerful that the whole world will shut down in the next 2 days. That people that don't even believe in Jesus will take the day off. People that don't even buy this, think that they debunk it, it stops the whole world. Think about it. Every economy in the world is driven by this holiday. Every government in the world stops and takes the day off because of this holiday. And yet, if we're not careful, we just humbug through it and go, well, look what they've done with it. No, it's not about what they've done with it. It's that you've forgotten to be excited about it. It's that we aren't as arrested by it because we're familiar with it. And we don't quite understand the reality of that once God was present as a man, we've won. I mean, once God inhabits one man, then every man and woman can be inhabited by God. That once one man can live victoriously, every man can live victoriously. That once one man breaks the power of death, then every man breaks the power of death. That our freedom was purchased because God came to us. Contrary to the lies of religion, we don't have to earn our way into His presence, but by grace He comes into ours. Listen, the biggest fallacy that hinders humanity is not the powers of the world, but the stupidity of religion that keeps men bound to their own behavioral acquisition. I bring to you is the announcement. Not that you brought to me, but I bring to you. Come on, I bring to you good news of great joy. I want to slap about half the church. They're not bringing good news. They're bringing bad news, you filthy, no good, rotten sinner. You're going to go to hell. That's not good news. The good news is not about where you're going to go. The good news is where He has come. He has come to us. We're living today in the expectation of His coming again. The news is He's come to us. And we're standing there going, well, I wonder where we're going. Aha, honey, you don't understand. He's with us. Wherever He's going, I'm going. I mean, she looked at her mother-in-law and said, if you're going, I'm going. If your people are those people, they're my people. That's the celebration of this reality. He's come to us. And to understand that we have the ability to step into every culture, in every place, and go, oh, you've got a statue to an unknown God. Oh, there's a God you don't even know, but you worship anyway. You make statues to it. You dress them up in red suits, put beards on them, and everything else. Let me tell you, I know who that is. Some of you have been battling Santa Claus so long that you've forgotten that if you'll be honest about it, you can explain why the myth of Santa Claus exists. Instead of trying to tear down myths, would you please encourage your children to use their imagination and step into that which is unknown? Some of you are so cerebral, you've been to explain something that can never be explained. It can only be experienced in the mystery of faith. I've never tried to tear down the ideal of Christmas. I've never tried to tear down the idea of Santa Claus. I've just said, listen, St. Nicholas was born on the realities of Christ. And I just try to recover it. Here, let me tell you what that really is. Let me tell you how the world has taken our truth, used it, and how we can recover it if we just can recognize it and quit fighting something. Watch every Christmas movie that comes along. I've seen Charlie Brown's Christmas so many times I can repeat it. It's a wonderful life. My favorite has been for the last several years, Elfed. I just love that movie. And I watch it with my grandkids, and we enjoy it. And we enjoy it because embedded inside of it are these truths that we can recover. And it's interesting to me. I was sitting watching it with them the other day again, and we just stopped it. You know, I love Tebow. Bam. And I back it up. I said, catch that. What is the spirit of Christmas that if we're not careful, we miss? What is that spirit of excitement that if we're not careful, we miss? What is that thing? You do understand that without the ability to step beyond rationalism, without the ability to step beyond humanism, without the ability to step beyond science and step into that mystery of it, come on. Gary Wright wrote a song called Dreamweavers. If you were a kid in the 70s, you know how, wrong thing. Abraham had a dream. He had a dream that he would have a child and that child would have a home. He had a dream. The father of our faith believed and ordered his life because he had a dream. His son Jacob had a dream about being over this country. He had a dream, and he had to trust God for a dream. Joseph, Jacob's son, had the dream of people bowing, and he went into captivity, and he became the Savior of Israel because he had a dream. Do you understand that our faith is built on people that have dreams and visions? That God can never reach us through our cerebral realities, but he has to most of the time put us to sleep to really speak to us. Because if not, we argue with what we think we know. There wouldn't even be a Christmas if a man by the name of Joseph hadn't had four dreams. I mean, he had to have a dream. Marry the girl, it's of God. Marry the girl, it's of God. Had another dream. Run to Egypt and protect the child, because the child is mine. Go back to Galilee, to Nazareth, because it's time. But stay in the rural part of the world. Listen, the best things of life come from the rural part of the world. This is not the great cities. It's the rural part of the world where Christ hides himself in the common people. Listen, the dream of things happening at Christmas. Christmas is a time where we reboot the fact that our faith cannot simply be described by our teachings, but has to be experienced in the mystery of how God gives dreams to people in order to change their lives. The power of Joseph is not that he was willing just to dream the dream, but he was willing to order his life based on a dream. Most people in this room order their life based on their logic rather than based on the dreams that come to us when we're about half asleep. Oh, if you stop and you think about it, you'll recognize that you solve most of your problems with dreams. That the supernatural powers of God come to us in those moments when we are resting in God and he speaks to us. How many of you have ever discovered the answer to something about yourself or the situation that you're going through when you were asleep? Woke up with a solution to the problem that you were facing because you had something take place while you were asleep. See, to understand that Christmas causes us to reevaluate how God speaks to us. That Christmas causes us to understand that we are a people who trust and rely in the voice of God that many times comes to us beyond the ability of the acquisition of the human mind. It causes us to transcend and live in that, pardon me, magic of heaven. And rather than trying to rob that of our children, maybe we ought to stroke that a little bit. Because if we don't, people are going to be left to their own reasoning. And can I tell you, their own reasoning today is screwing up the world. They're trying to figure out who's this and who's that and how to do this, and they can't even solve the problems. The problems aren't solved because humans get smart. The problems of humanity are solved because we trust in someone beyond ourselves. Someone's other than ourselves who breaks into our life, maybe, just maybe, if we'd stop and realize one of the greatest problems of the 20th century was solved because a man said, I have a dream. And when he said, I have a dream, he began to push forward the equality of the races. And some of you in this room are too white to understand how powerful that is. But human problems are resolved when people begin to have hope in something that's beyond their ability. And when we hope in something that's miraculous, we talk a lot about healing in this room, a lot about the miraculous in this room. You want it, you're going to have to make it be every fiber of your being. You can't just want it when you're sick or want it when it's convenient. You got to realize that God works miraculously to bring a baby to us, and that he works through dreams and visions, and that means you cannot allow the culture of the world today to put you in some sort of scientific box. You have to stay in that mystery and that anticipation of the Christ coming through a virgin. God knows how to break in to our lives and break down the stress, help us to envision a future full of promise, and encourage us to move ahead into those unknown steps that lie for us. The question today might be, if God calls you to action through a dream, would you say with Mary, let it be? If God spoke to you in an angelic way, would you have the ability to go, yes? What dreams and messages are you receiving from God? That's the question of the hour. How is God calling you to pay attention to his voice and not to those that are spinning in the culture today? Where is God leading you in your life? What dreams are inspiring you to follow after Christ in fresh ways? When you see people who cannot dream, you know that the spirit of Christmas is lost. When without the ability to dream, there is no faith. Without the ability to step into that childlike experience, we have to recognize that God uses unlikely people, shows up in unlikely places, reveals an unlikely king, and causes an unlikely praise. I would not have chose shepherds. Shepherds are uneducated. Shepherds are the marginalized. They're the street sweepers. My God, they take care of the things that nobody else wants to take care of. And yet, the night that the Christ was born, he told the shepherds. He didn't tell the rulers. The night the Christ was born, the night that this world encountered grace, the night that heaven touched earth, the night that evil faces this unconditional love, the night that darkness was penetrated by the glory of God, he doesn't speak to religious people, he speaks to regular people, extraordinary people. He speaks to you and to me. He doesn't show up at the Vatican. He doesn't show up in Springfield. He doesn't show up those places. He shows up out where people are taking care of sheep. He shows up in the everyday areas of our life. Do you understand? He's talking to you and me today in Hutchinson, Kansas, about the coming of God into this world. He doesn't talk to rulers. Listen, your leaders are never going to hear God. You're silly. Leaders never hear from God. Children hear from God. No. It was a little boy, Samuel, who was 8 years old. He hears from God. Not your leaders. We're going to have the gun. No, honey. It's a grassroots movement. It's not from the top down. It's from the bottom up. You need to be listening to these kids running around here because they know more about the magic of God than you do. They're not all filled up with all these file drawers and downloaded information off Google. They just know God loves them. Oh, notice how quiet it gets in this room. It's never going to be leaders that save the world. It's going to be the childlike faith of people that are willing to suspend what they think they know and be surprised by who they get to meet. He doesn't speak to leaders of religions. He doesn't speak to rulers. He speaks to regular people. The downtrodden, the distressed. He speaks to the different and the despised. He speaks to unlikely misfits. He speaks to people that are nobodies and calls them to be devout. Why a shepherd? Why a shepherd? Because they had this responsibility of taking care of sheep. See, the Pharisees of the moment when Christ was born thought they were God's people because they kept the law, because they kept a higher moral standard than all the other peoples of the world.
because they were clean and they didn't look and they didn't touch and they didn't smoke and they didn't drink and they didn't sin, and therefore they were the people of God. That's not even the truth. The reason they were God's chosen is because every year God killed a lamb to cover the stupid stuff they'd done the year before. They weren't God's chosen because they could keep the law. They were God's chosen because God shed blood to cover that the fact they didn't keep the law. The law isn't something you aspire to keep. It's something you go, oh, I broke the law. I'm sorry. See, the Ten Commandments are given so you know what to be sorry about. The Ten Commandments point out that none of us are perfect. The Ten Commandments reveal we can't do this on our own. The blood of the Lamb is what covers us from having broke the law. The shepherds had the job of keeping the sheep, which covered the law. Are you in this room? It's interesting to me how God always puts the sheep, a shepherd over sheep. You know why? Because a shepherd keeps the sheep from being lost. They're out there in the hills of Bethlehem taking care of the very thing that would forgive the arrogant rulers of Jerusalem. Are you understanding? Why does the announcement come to shepherds? Because they got the most important job in the world. And that is to protect the sheep. The sheep that would cover the sins of the people. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. The metaphor of coming to the shepherd is so powerful. Don't miss it. In the hills of Bethlehem, they were covered with these sheep bleeding because in just a few short months they would be killed to forgive the sins of the arrogant people. Shepherds knew how to save sheep. Unlikely people. To an unlikely place, Bethlehem. It's like Sebree. Where's Sebree? My point. He goes to Bethlehem. Can I tell you, he didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't go to New York City. He won't go to Springfield. He's not going to Dallas or Tulsa. He's not going to Toronto or that other place that you think. He's not going to Bethel, Redding, California. No. He's going to show up in Bethlehem. He's going to show up in Sebree, Kansas, Yoder, USA. He's going to show up in those out-of-the-way places that no one wants to go to. He's going to show up in that place where there's no reason to go, but I'm going to go anyway. Some of you are waiting for him to land in Jerusalem. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives. That's a different spot. He's going to land where nobody expects him to land. He's going to show up in your house. He's going to show up in my house. He's going to come to you. You don't have to go to him. This isn't about a pilgrimage you got to make. It's about a journey he's taken. And he shows up in Bethlehem. Why? Because they have an ICU unit. Because in Bethlehem, they had these birthing units for lambs. He didn't need an inn. He needed an ICU unit. He needed a place where the lamb that was born perfect would be maintained perfectly. So that's where they wrapped the legs of the lamb together so the lamb couldn't kick itself and bruise itself. They knew how to take care of baby lambs. God's going to show up in places where we know how to take care of children. Most important thing this place does around here is not sing and not me preach, but the way we take care of children, because they're the hope of the world. Abraham, I'm going to choose you because you know how to teach your children. Some of you need to get off your fanny and join the work of taking care of children. Oh, that got no amens, not one. Children, they're the hope. God shows up in places where there's ICU units to take care of innocent people. Didn't show up where you'd think he'd be born in a mansion, right? No. He wasn't born in a mansion. He was born in a manger. There wasn't any military force around him to protect him either. There was a 15-year-old girl and a confused man by the name of Joseph and a bunch of shepherds taking care of sheep and a camel and a goat. God didn't need military force to protect him. He used his created order. Honey, I don't need a military force to take care of me. I need God. Amen. Some of you put your trust in might, and that might will never protect you.
What will protect you is the love of the creation that God has put around you. He created the world and put you in the world. He came into the midst of his creation because creation itself will protect him. This child who was born to die didn't come with rubber gloves or hazmat suits or armor. He came and laid in this little mundane town with a manger and allowed people, you and me, to protect him. Some of us need to stand up and protect the message of the Christ. He comes in vulnerability. He comes with accessibility. Why a manger? Because everybody could come. No one needed an appointment. No one had to meet the criteria. Shepherds, wise men, goats could come in. Listen to me. Every one of you are allowed to come into the presence of God. Every one of you can come. You don't have to be this or that or the other. You're just welcome to come into this little unlikely place. An unlikely prince, right? I told you, children. About 20 years ago, I was doing this church growth thing. This is left turn, right turn, whatever. This is a squirrel. Reminds me. And these people, they came and they were going to put us on the map. And they watched our videos and they watched several things, listened to me preach. And they said, well, there's just one thing. You're too transparent. You can't. At that time, Joe sang on the stage. How many of you remember Joe? Joe was this little Down syndrome boy. He grew to be a man, and he danced like Elvis. And we handed him a mic, and they said, you got to get rid of Joe. And then all those kids you got jumping around, you got to get rid of that because it doesn't present well enough. And I thought, well, I guess we'll never be famous. Did you get it?
Amen.
Okay, because I don't care. If I have to stop being who I am in order to... So, man, I go over that place, those kids do anything. Almost. This unlikely prince, this baby, he doesn't come the way we think he ought to come. He doesn't look the way we think he ought to look. This almighty, powerful, creator of heaven and earth, sustainer of all things, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the lily of the valley, the ruler of the universe, comes as a child. He comes in this ability to give himself. He comes and surrenders and submits himself, announcing himself to unlikely people, being born in an unlikely place, in an unlikely form, for an unlikely purpose. He came to make peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. He said his peace would spread through the world. Church, we're supposed to be the carriers of peace, not division. I'm so waiting for the pulpits to wake up and have the guts to say, this is about peace, not war. This is about losing my life for my enemies, not taking the life of my enemy. You have to understand, the Prince of Peace didn't fight back. He laid down. He came to announce peace, not because there was a negotiated peace, but because he would die for those who wanted his death. That's who we follow. That's what it means to be a Christian, is to surrender my right, to surrender my need, to be in control and in charge, and to lift my arms high and say, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. It's mercy and peace and grace that will challenge the world, that will challenge our times. Is it scary? Sure is. It's scary to follow in the footsteps of the Christ. It's scary to believe that we are called to live in an attribute of peace. The world's wage war trying to find it. Leaders strike deals to maintain it. Militaries establish boundaries to control it. People take pills to achieve it. They drink to forget it. People look to politicians who promise it. Governments fight for it. And all the while we ignore the one who came and gave it to us. His name is Jesus. And I have a dream that as we would look to and follow after the Christ who was born in a manger, we would begin to experience the peace that we so longingly hope for. Notice how quiet it gets in this room, because the birth of a baby will confront every attitude of humanity. It will confront everything that we have put our life on. To think that the birth of a child solves all of humanity's issues. We can disagree, but if I hand you a baby, we are suddenly at peace with one another. I promise you. You can have the most disagreeing set of denominations, the most disagreeing conservative liberal views, but when we share a baby in our arms, we are suddenly united as one people, recognizing the love of that child and our love for that child. Christmas is my hope that we become human again. Christmas is my hope that we're restored to our original identity again, that we have peace with God, peace with each other, peace within ourselves, that we strive not to be over and apart and divided from, but we strive to surrender and be one with Him and ourselves and each other. That's the Christmas I'm waiting to unwrap. That's the Christmas I'm hoping for, is that we would no longer live in strife, but live in this great unity that He came to give to us. This place where His love cast out all fear, where His love removes all apprehensions of trusting not only Him, but each other to be the people that He's called us to be. See, God is famous for using the unlikely, the unqualified, the unusable. Every one of us in this room can be instruments of the Christ. Every one of us in this room can be instruments for peace if we allow ourselves to be pulled into the vacuum of the miracle of Bethlehem. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was afraid. Samson's hair was too long. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. David had an affair. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied the Christ. The disciples wouldn't keep praying. Martha worried about too many things. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer, and Lazarus was dead. But God will choose the unlikely and the unwanted to make known the Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every one of you in this room can be an instrument of the Christ, an instrument of His peace, an instrument of the birth of Jesus in your family and in your life. Stop waiting for the rulers to do it. Stop waiting for the denominations to do it. Stop waiting for the institutions to do it. You can reveal Jesus to someone in your world today. God uses things that we don't know to accomplish things we don't understand. And I find more truth at times in the silly Christmas mythical stories. I find more truth there. I find that most people have been duped so long by religion they can't recognize what's real. I find they've been duped so long with the Jesus they've been handled that they don't know the real. Kind of like Buddy. Play the one about real.
Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay.
He's a monster! He's a fake! He's a fake!
Come here!
I swear! He's a fake!
We need to rip the beard off of the fake religions of this world. We need to stand up and smell like you smell like cheese. That's not the real Jesus. That's not the real faith. The real faith wouldn't act like that.
This is the real thing. We need to uncover it because we know what's real. We've been to the North Pole and back, right? We've been in the presence of God and back. We've spent time. Come on, we ought to be able to uncover not Santa Claus, but the fake Jesus that's been given to so many people. I'm not afraid of the fake Santa Claus, but I am afraid of the Jesus that most of the church has presented to the world. I am afraid of that legalistic thing. And I want to rip it off and go, no, wait a minute. Let me tell you that you really need to understand that all things are possible to him who believes.
What happened?
You made my sleigh fly.
What do you mean?
Well, before the turbine days, this baby used to run solely on Christmas spirit. You believed in me. You made my sleigh fly.
Hold, if you're really Santa Claus, then we can just get some news cameras in here and everyone will believe in you, then your sleigh will fly, right?
Christmas spirit is about believing, not seeing. The whole world saw me, all would be lost. The paparazzi have been trying to nail me for years.
Listen to me. We don't have to see the baby born in the manger to know the baby was born in the manger. We don't have to see the tomb empty to know that the tomb is empty. The spirit of Christmas, the spirit of knowing that God is with us, that's what makes everything work. Everything doesn't work because we show it to somebody or educate somebody. It works because we believe that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Where is our inspiration to believe in the dreams and the visions and the miracles of our life? Don't allow just the Santa Claus and the elf to have more belief than we do. My God, go home this afternoon, put the stupid movie on, watch it with your kids, and go, let me tell you about what it means to believe in Jesus. Capture the unknown God and use it to your advantage. Quit fighting against it and use the thing. Because when you do, you open up the imagination for people to believe in the miraculous, that we can lay hands on people in a few minutes and they can be healed of that thing. That we can lay hands on people in a few minutes and something powerful happens. Listen to me. The world has been duped, particularly the church, of getting caught up in these arguments of this denomination, this right, that right, this. When the truth of the matter is, I'm called to live in this mystical reality that God shows up as a baby in a manger. He walks out of a tomb and that I'm filled with his spirit and that because I believe God, this thing can fly again. Anybody in the room? I know, some of you are going, I don't understand. It's because you don't have to understand. All you got to do is step out on the thing and, okay. If I haven't got you by now, I'm not going to get you. I love these things. Go to that last one. I want you to see this one here.
He knows if you're awake.
He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake.
Hey!
They know when you're just moving your lips. They know when you're just going through the emotions. They know when you're just, they know when you're not really excited about the birth of Jesus. They know when you're just caught up in. Listen, they'll see through the facade of your fake faith. They'll see through that. Listen to me, Mom, Dad, Grandma, and Grandpa. We're supposed to be excited that Christ has been born and know that he still lives on the inside of us, and we ought to be singing about it. Listen, you shouldn't be standing there when you have no idea how blessed you are with a talent in this church. And when they start singing, I ought to hear you shouting the song. Hallelujah, Noel, oh my God. I can turn on a playlist and get happy in the shower. I'm
I got Cindy, I'm telling you. I know I got Cindy. What am I trying to do? It's Sunday before Christmas. Christmas is Wednesday. Some of you need to get happy finally. Some of you need to put a smile on your face. Listen, if I got money, I'm dangerous. You don't understand. I still got $115 in my Christmas account. I'm going to go blow it tomorrow. What are you talking about? As long as I got money, somebody getting something. There you go. You don't get what I'm saying. Well, you just give too much. You cannot do that. Jesus was given to me. You cannot do that. Have fun. Now, if you don't have anything, go get a rock. I've done it. Go get a rock and get some paints and paint the rock and give the rock away. But if you don't have anything, I helped you. You don't have to walk out of here. Well, I don't want to feel ashamed. Okay, sneak back. I'm serious. Sneak back. But for goodness sakes, don't allow the circumstances around you or your religious fuddy-duddies to rob you of the reality that Christ has come into your life. Make more fun out of the next couple of days than anything you can. I bring you good news this morning. I bring you good news. Christ has come to you. Christ has come to me. He didn't come to judge us. He came to die for us. He came to forgive us. I bring you good news of great joy. For all people, to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. My God, a Savior has come to save His people from their sins, to save us from the hell that we deserve. I bring you great, great news of great, great joy. And I pray with all of my heart that you can experience it. You can have the passion for it. You can find it in Charlie Brown Christmas. You can find it in Elf or It's a Wonderful Life. You can find it somewhere. You can find it in sitting on the lap of the Santa Claus. You can find it somewhere. Rip the beard off of the fake Christmas that's been handed to you, not by the world, but by the church. Rip it off. Rip it off and uncover the reality of who He is. And learn these three lessons. I prepared this many years ago for children, and then I realized the children got it. It was the adults that walked out and didn't get it. So I took it this year, and I'm aiming it at you. Are you listening to me? Here are the three things I want you to learn. One more time. Here they come.
We learn how to build the latest in extreme graphic chipset processors. Let's recite the code of the L, shall we? Number one.
Treat every day like Christmas.
Number two.
There's room for everyone on the nice list.
Number three.
The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear.
What did Pastor preach? Here's the takeaway. Number one, treat every day like it's Christmas. Treat every day like Christ has come to you. Number two, there's room on the nice list for everyone. Number three, the best way to do it is sing loud and clear so that everyone can hear. I think that's the three takeaways I want you to have as you head into Christmas in the next couple of days. Treat every day like it's a gift from God. Make sure that you don't have a naughty list for anybody. And number three, sing it loud and clear so that all can hear. Father, I pray this morning that the simple words of my mouth would confront the Scrooges, the Pharisees, the stick-in-the-muds, the people that are looking in the wrong directions, that they would confront Buddy's father. They would confront a culture who has missed the point. My prayer this morning is we could recover the dreams, the mystic. We could recover the hope that, God, you do the miraculous through unlikely people in unlikely places with an unlikely child. I pray this morning that we would recover that excitement, that awe, that feeling of being overwhelmed that you have come to us. I ask for that this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. feel like in the last several months, the Lord has spoke to me to intensify our intentionality to pray for miracles and healing. The truth of the matter is I believe that every time that we have the opportunity, God's wanting to do the miraculous. So I've asked people again this Sunday to take up places of position for prayer so that once you receive communion, you could also receive prayer. I don't know whether I have. I know I have Kent and Donetta. I may need a... You're here. Okay. And as I do that, I know some of you are going, oh, Pastor, thank you for doing that because we need to do that and pastors were coming. Yeah. But let me tell you something. I am confronting your religiosity. I am confronting your judgmentalism. I am confronting the idea that you think that this world can be structured in such a way to accomplish the purposes of God. The only way God's will is going to come to pass is through the miraculous, through the peace of God. And that will not happen in a world that is evaluating this people from that people, this denomination from that denomination, this nation with that nation. The miraculous will not happen as long as there is a religious, pharisaical attitude. So yes, we're going to pray for people. You know what I'm asking you to do? Change. Change your mind. Change your attitudes. Repent from any of this religious stuff that's crept into the church. Repent from it. Turn away from it. Become childlike again. Let God just move, not just on Sunday mornings, but in every area of our lives. If you've been mad at somebody, go fix it. Are you listening to me? If you got something between you and somebody, go fix it. If you got an attitude towards somebody, go fix it. You want to know why? Because somebody in this room this morning wants healed. And as long as we got that toxicity working, it'll be harder. It'll be harder. So let's let this whole atmosphere of the Father's house step over into that miraculous that. And let's do it by altering our... Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you formed us out of the dust of the ground in your likeness and your image. You breathed your very life into us, and we became living beings. When we turned our back on you and failed you, you followed us out. You loved us unconditionally. And in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, born of a woman. He came to forgive sinners, heal the sick, and deliver the oppressed, and to declare the favor of the Lord among us. And on the night of his betrayal, the Lord Jesus took bread. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave thanks for it. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take this, eat. It is my body broken for you." And after the supper, he picked up a cup. And he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. It is my blood, which is shed for the forgiveness of sins to all people. As oft as you drink it, you declare my death until I come." Father, send your Spirit upon your people, upon this food. Lord, do the miraculous. Feed your people with spiritual food, spiritual drink. Satisfy us with the food of heaven and the drink of heaven. Fulfill us from heaven rather than the earth. As we celebrate the mystery of our faith, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Now may we pray together. Would you stand with me? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Would you look at someone this morning and just share the peace of the Lord? Just peace be with you. Greet somebody this morning. Acknowledge their value, that they matter. Oh, come on. You can do a little better than that. Just give that love. Hallelujah. The table of the Lord that's been set for you. May you come and receive everything that God has for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
For a miracle, my heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, Emmanuel. A child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. We'll be right back. for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, oh, come, Emmanuel.
Jesus' name. 2020. Hallelujah. Lord, give us a fresh revelation of what it means to be followers of Christ. Give us clear vision, 2020 vision, Lord, perfect vision of what it means to be the church, of what it means to be a people set apart by God for His miraculous endeavors in this world. Lord, start in this little place called Hutchinson, Kansas, and cause us to be set free of all the bondages and the restrictions of religious things. Help us, Father, just to step out on the waters. Walk in that reality that God, you order the steps of the righteous. Hallelujah. Our trust, our hope, our everything is in thee, O God. Use everyone in this room to pray for, witness to, inspire, lift up, set free, bring change. Lord, heal trauma, heal abuse. Break addictions. Heal minds. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Change the world through us, O God. Let the Christ be seen and heard and known. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May He look you in your eyes and change your life. Grant you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and in the power of the Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas. I'll be here Tuesday, 6 o'clock. Love you. God bless. If you need a gift, please, 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 if you know someone that needs a gift,